Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Oldschool. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is a site you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. Listen to the archives as well. If you want to contact us directly, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com or hashtag OSATM. Oldmovies.net, D-O-T-net. Up and running here at the new casa, the Old School. Little echoey because I still don't have my stuff on the walls yet. We got to paint, so I apologize for the echo. But apart from that, we've also got on the podcast Mr. Heavyset.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we don't have any tweets from our last episode because it literally went up an hour ago.
Hey, it's out. I got it done.
I look forward to hearing this episode in a month.
Hey, I appreciate that. So yeah, if I get this done in a month, no. Well, I think, wasn't Carb joking about it was going to be ABI episode 900 or something as I was editing this afternoon. So at least I beat that. And speaking of Carb, Carb's here this week as well.
Yeah, but episode 38 in multiple chunks will be coming out sooner rather than your next episode. So how is it happening that a bunch of drunken idiots are able to get out episodes more often than you only having to deal with us two sober idiots?
You know, I think I have to drink more. That's my problem.
There you go. Start drinking.
All right. If I drink more, I'll probably edit more. News you want to talk about, guys. MoviePass is dead now, too? Did you hear they're taking a sabbatical?
Yeah, that's kind of what we were I kind of mentioned before we were recording.
Yeah.
I was like, I've seen six movies and there's no cinema or MoviePass.
Well, you just got your AMC thing, right?
No.
Cinemark, sorry.
I've had Cinemark.
Right. So you don't have any subscription stuff anymore?
I have the one ticket a month.
Thing, yeah, okay.
But that's one ticket a month. Not really saving that. I mean, saving enough if I go, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I talked about this to death in the previous episodes, but yeah, they had a business model that didn't work. What do you think the future is? To me, I think the movie companies are going to start maybe doing a subscription thing because it would make sense for them to do it because they can subsidize and make money back off the concessions.
But here's something that I was thinking of earlier today. Like the whole time Cinemia and MoviePass was around, you're just like, I don't know about this. Well, I don't know how long it's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, when I look at it, did it really matter how long it lasted? Because guaranteed, especially with freaking MoviePass, I save money.
Mm-hmm.
I saved a lot of money. Whether it lasted just a year or what, but for me, roughly, it was almost 2 years with MoviePass and Cinemia. Like I said, I saved a lot, so no matter how long I was subscribed to it, 100% worth it, my point of view.
And in your experience, how many movies more did you go see compared to, say, if you didn't have those subscription services? Did you say over a month span you went to two more movies, something like that?
It depends. Like, when we did the last episode, I hadn't been to a movie since Endgame. So I had nothing to talk about, but oddly enough, when we got MoviePass, we stopped going to the drive-in because we were going to see a movie pretty much every week.
Yeah.
So every time there would be a movie that we'd want to see at the drive-in, it's playing with something we've already seen. So it just wasn't worth it. Now we wait a little bit. Like we saw, like within about a week, we went to the drive-in twice and seen four movies. And all in all, just ticket price, we paid $40. So almost roughly what we would pay for a regular ticket.
The reason why I'm asking that is like, okay, if the movie companies come up with some kind of subsidized model with a subscription, you know, say if you went to two or three more movies, or Carp or whatever, you went to more movies per month, that's more money you're spending at the concession stand. Because, you know, I don't know your habits. We went together once and, you know, you had an icy and a popcorn or whatever. I'm guessing every time you go, you have some kind of concessions, right?
My minimum is just an icy. Like okay. We went today when we went and seen Stuber. I brought in my own dots and we got icy. But that's my only constant is an icy.
Okay.
I can go in and just get just that and be fine.
But you're still dropping $5 or whatever on that icy.
Per one, we're at about three something.
Okay.
Because we have the refillable cup one. And
got it.
The more we go, the more we fill it. Like it's because I think we paid like $6 for the initial cup and fill, and then all the refills after that are half price. So it's like, it's less and less per. Like, I think for just two this time, refills, it was like six something. And that's also with a 20% discount.
Cart. On the average, you get a popcorn and a drink. Like when I go with my girlfriend, we usually get the combo, the one popcorn, the two drinks, and the M&Ms or whatever. And that's like $20. So
yeah, you know. I mean, my consistent movie spending, if I'm not paying for the ticket because the scene points, let's say, it's always combo one, which is medium popcorn, large drink, packet of M&Ms. And it actually, when you do it now, you get a free digital download for Cineplex Store, which is great because I've got a smart TV and I was actually able to download the Cineplex app on my TV so I can rent movies for free on my television. Like Captain Marvel came out a week ago.
No, for sure. And there are kind of like illegal ways to obviously get the movies, but it's just convenience, a question of convenience. You go on that Cineplex Store, you press a button and you don't have to worry about getting viruses or, you know, having bad copies and stuff. So if you can get it for free, and it's super easy to do. I've done it a couple times too using that combo, and I think it makes sense. But my argument, the reason why I'm asking you that is like, I'm okay. You know, if I look at how this is going to look like in 5 years, you know, movie attendance is dropping. They are aware of it. They've seen companies use a business model. Obviously, financially, it didn't work for them, but they see that there is an interest in it and people want to have some kind of subscription service. And I see the movie companies doing it so they can bring in people more often and then subsidize with concessions. So like if I'm looking at it long term, 5 years, I can see a lot of these big movie chains, maybe Cineplex in Canada and the American movie chains like pushing, I wouldn't say unlimited, but maybe like a 3-pack for $20 or just something that the you know, subscriber can save a bit of money, but then they can, that, you know, the movie companies in their head, they'll say, well, they'll spend more in concessions, so it'll balance itself out. So I think it's going to be something like that that's going to end up happening. Next up in movie news, Sylvester Stallone is starting to work on Expendables 4. Now, Stallone's confirmed the news earlier today on Instagram alongside a shot of the actor as his character, Barney Ross. Stallone wrote, "All of those July 4th fireworks got my mind going, and I'm starting to cook up the next adventure." Guys, I mean, you know, financially, the third one didn't make that much. I mean, you know, if I go back to the first two, I had fun, especially Van Damme as the villain in the second one for me was great. But yeah, that third one just, it flopped financially. So I don't, and just the action movies in general, you know, maybe John Wick has kind of brought it back a bit and that will help kind of excite people for this one. And of course, there's always great nostalgia with, you know, Jet Li, Stallone, you've got Bruce Willis in there, you've got, you know, well, you had Van Damme, he was a bad guy, but you got Schwarzenegger, you got, so kind of some UFC people and stuff like that. So it's fun. I would go, but I just don't see the mass appeal anymore, especially with these guys now. I don't know how old Stallone is. You know, I'm sure he could still kind of pull it off, but is there a market? I don't think there's a mass market for it. What do you think, Abby?
I think people are going to still try to go out and see it. It's crazy to think that they're even trying to do another one after the third one, because I felt like it just bombed so bad and we were talking about it. In between that and like Kick-Ass 3, where it was just like, all right, like this, or Kick-Ass 2
yeah.
did so bad that we weren't going to do 3. It's, I don't know where we're going with this shit, but I think, you know, summer blockbuster movie season, you throw it out at the right time, don't put it close to probably certain titles, then it might do okay. Or even, I've even said before, don't do summer blockbuster. Put it somewhere in February. Put it in September, where you're going to look better against movies that are probably garbage.
No, it's true. You're going to have less competition for sure. Carp, what do you think about the idea of doing a fourth one? Would you go? What do you think the mass market appeal is?
Well, I mean, I would go, but if you're looking at most franchise trends are starting to go down. Men in Black International did dog shit. There was another like sequel so many years later that came out. I can't remember which one, but that also did really bad. Child's Play didn't do as well as they thought it would. So
are you thinking Independence Day?
Yeah. Resurgence? No, it was something else this year that came out. That was a sequel. Dark Phoenix massively underperformed was the other one I was thinking.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of studios are thinking that some people are getting tired of franchises, certain franchises, not all of them, but Child's Play in total has only made $28 million. Men in Black is, oh my God, 76 million total. That's it. So,
and that's domestic or?
Domestic, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think the thing with Men in Black that I think of, like, okay, Men in Black 1 was great. Men in Black 2, probably not as good as 1, but I'm going to put it in the ballpark.
Yeah.
But I remember going to see Men in Black 3. I don't remember that much about the movie, except Josh Brolin was supposed to be younger Tommy Lee Jones, and he fit the bill perfectly. Other than that, I don't remember a fucking thing. So that made me go into, or not even want to go into this next Men in Black. So I'm like, it's not even like continuation. We're going to do it a worldwide thing. Like, where are we going with this shit?
Yeah, to me, it just seemed like a rehash to make money, to do something with the franchise. I didn't feel motivated to go see it. And they promoted the shit out of it, especially during the NBA playoffs. Like, they were incorporating basketball players, and the marketing was really strong for it. But yeah, that just didn't seem to have much general appeal, I suppose. And, you know, if the movie companies start bombing enough, we're going to see more original content, which I think, you know, that's where John Wick comes from, is just something different, you know. And we won't go into depth on it, but I did see it and I thought it was great. We'll save it for the reviews. So, Cart, next up, John Cena is going to be in the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yep, that's pretty much all the article says. He's joining the cast because, I mean, it looks like more or less with Hobbs and Shaw coming out that The Rock's cast, because apparently The Rock and Vin Diesel are not the bestest of friends on set, let's just say.
Okay.
From what everybody says. So it looks like they're going to split the series. So I guess they just want a pro wrestler like back in the place, even though The Rock's more movie superstar than he is ever wrestler now for some people. So
Cena's going to go with Vin Diesel, and then Rock's going to go with Statham?
From the looks of it. Let me see. Okay. What we got here. At the time Cena's casting was announced, no details about his character were revealed. Others, aside from the fact that he's playing a badass. Now, it looks like Cena could potentially be putting those skills in badassery to good use for Dom and the rest of the team, since he's posing in the photo with everyone. He's standing behind everybody.
You know, I recently saw the, I believe it's the last one, and I'm like, okay, this is fucking ridiculous, the stunts are doing and stuff. I'm like, the seventh or eighth iteration, you know, and they're turning more like into more heist movies and stuff.
Yeah, well,
like that.
So that's kind of like, because it was 1, 2, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And then 4 was like kind of the reboot where it started becoming the, you know, the heist movie.
Right.
Let's say. I mean, they've been all over the world. They've been to Dubai. They had one of their real cast members end up like dying in a real life car race attempt thing. Yeah. Like this thing is huge and it makes stupid amounts of money every time they come out.
That's the thing. And so because it's making stupid amounts, as long as they can keep it fresh, they're going to do it. It's crazy to think now after the eighth iteration that Vin Diesel dumped the franchise after the second one to do some Disney fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. All right. If there's no other news, we're going to get right into the reviews. Let's start with something both of you guys have seen. Please don't spoil, because it's on my list this week, Spider-Man. Heavyset, go ahead. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
It was god-awful garbage. Spider-Man sucks. He's the worst superhero ever. And then, like, at the end, when, like, all the multiverses opened up and... Am I kidding?
Hold on. Thanos came back, right?
No, wrong movie. You're thinking of the animated one, Into the Spider-Verse, buddy.
Shit. Okay.
I bought that and I still haven't watched it yet. But Spider-Man was okay. Like, I'm not high on the Spider-Man movies. It doesn't crack my top 5. I think for some people it does. But, you know, this wraps up Phase 3 very, very nicely, in my opinion. There's a lot of people out there that actually said, like, oh, no, Endgame's the end of the third phase. No, it's not. Just because Phase 1 ended with Avengers movie doesn't mean Phase 2 and 3 do, because guess what? They didn't. Ant-Man was the end of Phase 2. Spider-Man's the end of Phase 3. So we end phases after Phase 1 with insects. Remember that. And if you say Spider-Man's not an insect, I'm referring to the line from Thanos where he calls Spider-Man an insect. But anyway, there's a lot of backlash and aftermath of Tony Stark's death that like needs to be addressed. And I think that's why this is why we end it the way we do. And I liked it. I think, let me, I gotta pull up my ratings. so many different fucking ratings. But I think my biggest thing is I'm just not a huge Spider-Man fan, so it doesn't reach really high on my Marvel list. Still enjoyed it. Still a lot of really cool superhero shit. If you know at least a little bit about the comics, you might see where the movie's ending and where it's going. But obviously, like any Marvel movie, please stay for the after credit scene. There is a mid credit scene, which is really good. There is a, not really a spoiler alert, there is a actor returning to Spider-Man, and it's fucking amazing.
Oh, fuck, Tobey Maguire?
Man, how'd you figure it out? and then there's a end credit scene that takes a couple twists within a matter of seconds, and I think it shows you where we're going with Phase 4, and that's what I wanted for this movie. I think it was, like I said, good Marvel movie. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Wow, okay. And I know you're not a big fan of that guy. So, Cart, let's get your review.
I really liked it. Good mix of laughs and action and fun Marvel stuff. Gyllenhaal does a fantastic job as Mysterio. They actually pull off the Mysterio character, like if it's anything from the comics, quite well. Like Heavy said, stick around for the post-credit scenes. It'll give you an idea of what could possibly the next Spider-Man be named. I've already got a few names that I'll mention to you old school when you finally see it, if and when you ever finally see it. Super fun. Definitely check it out. It's a 4 out of 5 for me.
Well, that's on my list this week. I'll let you know. Aladdin, heavy set.
Aladdin, it's for me, it falls on the terms of every single Disney remake. I don't think it's as bad as some people say. Like, there's a lot of mixed reviews when it comes to these movies. I've heard people out there say these remakes suck for the Disney animated movies. And I disagree. I like the, as much as it can be, a bit of realism when it comes to these remakes, because to actually see a three-dimensional character, and they're kind of putting appropriate actors into those roles. And that's what I'm kind of enjoying too. There was a lot of backlash for Will Smith, and after watching it, and after taking a really good look at the original Aladdin and the kind of acting and everything that Robin Williams did, Will Smith played the genie in the kind of style that Robin Williams did, but his own version. So I think there's a lot of people when it comes to, like, if you're like, well, the original animated movie was better, I think you're holding on to your own nostalgia. I'll test my theory here soon, probably before this episode gets released, with The Lion King. And I already know that I found out that my favorite song from that movie, Be Prepared, is reduced to like a poem. So I'm going to see how much I like that movie, knowing like one of my favorite things has been like just completely, not even cut in half, cut into a fucking decimal.
Yeah.
So I gave this movie 3.5 out of 5. If you like Aladdin, I think you should like this too. If you don't, and you don't like the remakes, obviously don't go see it, but I enjoyed it. And this was a movie that I went because, well, my girlfriend wanted to go, but at the same time, it was a drive-in feature. And it was the second movie playing. The first movie was the bigger movie that we wanted to go see. So killed two birds with one stone.
Heavy, your timeline is incorrect. By the time this episode comes out, they'll finish filming the new live-action Little Mermaid, which is already catching a lot of flack.
So. Yeah, because it's a black mermaid or whatever. Yeah, you know what? It just seems to there seems to be some resemblances or similarities, excuse me. It seems to be some similarities to the comic book purists who get mad when they change the storyline a bit or whatever, change some of the characters. And also animated fans who, you know, if they change, you know, if they put an actor they don't like, or they remove, like you said, you know, part of a song they do, whatever, they don't get that 100% the way the movie viewer or the fan of the animated movie wants it to be, then they're going to shit on it. So do you think that's just, they could literally do not, you know, they could get everything right and you're still going to get backlash?
I think one of the worst problems when it comes to this society nowadays is just, it's full of fucking negativity and pessimism, to where I've heard people already in this early stages, and even before they officially started shooting, which was just, I think, yesterday as of this recording, like people were shitting on Ghostbusters 2, not, I'm gonna say 2, but the movie coming out next year, and they're like, oh, they're trying to do this to it and that to it. And I'm like, you're taking a couple casting choices and turning into this really big deal. Wait till they put out a trailer. And Like, when it comes to the Little Mermaid thing, I'm very lenient on casting and everything in movies because I always want to see a final product. And when I look at the Little Mermaid, the best point that I've read this whole time is there are no such thing as a fucking mermaid. They're all mythological. They're not real. So there's not like, this is what a mermaid is. A mermaid can be anything. The mermaid could be any color. A mermaid could be a multitude of different colors. So why should it matter that they're having a black actress play the part?
Do you think it's, and I'll throw this out the carp too. I agree with
I'm not racist, old school.
I agree with the negativity thing, but do you think this is a new thing, or do you think it was just these same people now have a voice on social media? So
we've mentioned this in ABI on this show, on other shows. The internet's created
called
a voice.
Rafflecast.
The internet's created a voice for people who don't deserve to have a voice. That's it.
Yeah, it's always been there, and I think as we go along, people look at their social media as a right. Like, well, I can say whatever I want. You can say whatever you want, but pretty much in all of our countries, well, anybody can say anything they want back to you, and you have to deal with the repercussions of your opinion. The problem is here in this country, the United States, is people are like, well, I got freedom of speech. No, your freedom of speech is you can say whatever you want about the government, and the government can't do anything against you, as long as, like, obviously you don't, like, try to murder somebody, try to commit a crime. I can go out right now and just say, Donald Trump's a piece of shit, and I don't have to worry about the government coming after me. That's what real freedom of speech is. You have the freedom.
We hear helicopters in the background.
I don't like him. He's a loser.
So people just think, well, I can say whatever I want on the internet. And I think the fact that there's a lot of anonymity, if I'm even saying that word right, of people don't know who you are, that people just get on the soapbox and they say whatever they want. Like, literally, within the past couple of years, the past, like, 4 to 5 years, I've gotten, like, so tired of politics. And, I mean, we're not bleeding it onto this show, but it's just still, like, I don't want to talk about it because people think their point of view is correct and everybody else is wrong and you're this. And I'm like, no, let's not get that way because I don't like that
whole idea. Yeah, the lack of engagement or having a discussion is the big issue. Yeah.
Plus, it's the anonymity. Like, these people would never say, some of these people would never say shit like this in real life.
True. Get on, like you said, Heavy, get on the fucking real soapbox and start blasting it. And then if you want, you know, say whatever the fuck you want, but be responsible for what you say.
So, like, going back to it, like, people are like, they want to bitch about everything. Yeah. And I think if we really dug, like, we can go far back. Like, let's even, like, we'll talk about Disney. We'll talk about The Little Mermaid. Remember when the original VHS copy came out and parents were like, oh, that's penises on there. And they were getting upward. Granted, like, yeah, you can kind of see it. But as a kid, I didn't notice that. To me, that was the Little Mermaid box. I wasn't looking for a penis on there. So
I can tell you who was.
But so, yeah, that shit just annoys the hell out of me. When it comes to a lot of the casting, a lot of stuff, like, especially this Little Mermaid movie, who gives a fuck? Well, she's supposed to be white. Really, it's a cartoon, but you want it to be like your cartoon? Like, just shut
up. The most enjoyable thing out of casting an African-American female in the Ariel role is Terry Crews is like, oh, I should play her father. And I'm like, yes, all sorts of yes. Please, yes, please, yes.
Merman, let's do it.
there's Terry Crews.
King Triton? That'd be awesome.
There's people I know out there that think that, and I've seen this online, is Ruby Rose should play Eric. And I'm like, all right, if we want to really, really stick it, because that's the whole idea, like, oh, let's stick it to all these people that are pissed. I was like, why don't we, and I looked up this actor's name, but my whole premise is like, let's get a transgender person in there. And I actually found a black transgender born a woman, now a man. And I was like, have it be this fucking, and it's black. I don't know if I said it, but black too. Like, fucking cast this person. It's just, fucking great.
It's just all the entire South will fucking just go insane. It'd be great. All right.
So anyways, live action Aladdin, Heavy.
Yeah. What'd you get on 5?
I think I was about to get into my rating. I cut off 3.5 out of 5. Awesome.
Child's Play. Go ahead. Go ahead, Cart.
It was could have been better, but Mark Hamill did an amazing job playing the titular Chucky character. The creepy song as well. The whole concept of like AI is going to kill us all. You know, there it was basically a hour and a half Black Mirror episode. It felt like, to be honest. And if it weren't for Mark Hamill voicing that character, and it couldn't have been Brad Dourif who did the original voice, I probably would have never seen this movie. I'll be honest to you.
How about Aubrey Plaza?
Aubrey Plaza is fine. She apparently wanted to play a single mom because she's the daughter of a single mom. I'm like, yeah, meh. She's got her moments. She's an actress. She could have, honestly, I think anybody could have played her role the way she was written and the way it acted. He meets, like, the Andy character meets these two friends, and they're kind of entertaining at moments. There's Jack Black's friggin' stunt double twin or whatever at some points, creepy guy who owns the building. He's got his creepy moments. But all in all, Mark Hamill made this movie pretty much more bearable than it would have been. Give it a 2.75 out of 5.
Heavy, do you agree?
You are my buddy until the end. More than a buddy, you're my best friend.
There is two different versions. There's the like traditional, you want to call it, happy version. And then there's the end credits version, spoiler alert. Not really, but it's just him singing it a little more creepier.
Anyway. A lot more creepier.
Yeah, well, you can actually find both on the soundtrack if you just want to cut to that. Like, not old school, but if you, listener, you want to cut to that instead of going to see it. I thought it was better than the original origins-wise. It does have a very Black Mirror thing, and I've heard a lot of people say that. But let's face it, the original origin story is fucking wonky and crazy as shit. Very, very 80s. This one, since it happens in the beginning of the movie, in my own opinion, if it happens within the first few minutes, it's not a spoiler. The Chucky doll is created. This buddy doll is created when the guy in probably China is actually getting fired, gets yelled at, and then the boss says, finish this doll and you're done. So he's being all pissed off, just takes off all these like security limits that all these dolls are supposed to have. And then chaos ensues once he gets a home. That, obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything. But the thing that I really enjoyed about it is it felt like an older slasher movie. And I don't know when the last time I felt that with was something that wasn't like an actual traditional slasher. Like, I don't know, maybe it was the soundtrack, maybe it was how it was shot, but there was something about it that felt 80s without being actually 80s. But going into this too, I'm not a really huge Child's Play fan. If anybody knows, like, I'm not really big into horror movies, but I gave this a favorable rating, and I'm waiting for the motherfucker to load. I want to say I gave it either 3.5 or 4 out of 5. Four. Gave it a 4 out of 5.
All right, sweet. I'm going to talk about John Wick quickly because we did review it in the previous episode. But yeah, okay, what the fuck? Like, just the creativity that they have for these action scenes is incredible. My two favorites were the knife fight at the beginning, just like constant glass breaking to get weapons, and then the horse chase with cars and shit. That was awesome. One thing I did notice, though, I almost had like action scene fatigue at the end. And during the end fight scene, I was like, not bored, but maybe I was just too overwhelmed with everything else that I just found the last action scene was lacking something. Would you agree, Carp?
I mean, it was slower, but if you know anything about the guy he was fighting, you're like, yeah, this is amazing, because Mark Dacascos, outside of his Iron Chef that I'm sure most North Americans know him about, he has done an amazing job in almost every other role I've seen him in when it comes to action. So, like, the fight they had, even like where he's sitting down, he's like, hey, John, good fight, right? And he just like keels over. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect. I didn't find fatigue at all. It was action beginning to end, didn't feel as long as it was, except for when he's like dying in the desert. It's John Wick 3 is fucking phenomenal. So
I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, and I give it like a 4. It was solid. It was almost like it was a little too much action or whatever, or not that it was too much.
When did you hand in your man card?
Yeah, seriously. No, it was just because, like, the beginning and, like, all the parts of the movie, except, like you said, when it died down around the desert scene or whatever, but it was just fucking mental. So I guess maybe I was anticipating something really over the top ridiculous at the end. And because I didn't get it, maybe I was disappointed or whatever. But yeah, I can't. That's the only kind of minor negative thing. And again, you know, they, if you haven't seen it yet, there's, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, we're going to be seeing more chapters to this franchise. And I think it's great. Like, just go up to, like Carp said, go up to a million. Fuck, who cares? Heavy set. Let's go with Stuber.
Seen Stuber today. And, you know, it's basically, I want to call it a buddy cop movie, but obviously Kumail Nanjiani, the co-star with Dave Bautista, is not really a cop. He's an Uber driver. And I don't know, what do you call that? Where, like, it's two dudes in the movie.
Buddy, Strange Bedfellows?
Buddy movie? I guess, yeah. It wouldn't be buddy cop, but
I think it's the words you're looking for, Strange Bedfellows.
Yeah, kind of like a Strange Bedfellows thing. And the reason why he's taking Uber, another thing happened at the beginning of the movie, you can see it coming. He has vision issues. And what would be one reason you're taking an Uber for the day? Oh, because you just got laser eye surgery and he still tries to do his job at the same time. Reasons I'll leave for you to watch in the movie. Fairly predictable at the beginning, but I think I would recommend this on the rental. Like, you don't really need to go out in the movie theater and see it.
Okay.
It's definitely not a surprising movie at all. I give it a 3 out of 5, and something I want to start doing, and this is going to be something I do like maybe a year later, is go back, look what I rated something, and if I can't remember anything about it, I dock it a star. And if I remember something, or if I know I've seen it multiple times, I possibly bump it up a little bit. Because I think there's a lot of movies that I'll go back and like look at the ratings for, and be like, I know I've seen it, but I'm like, I don't remember that. Like going back to Men in Black. I remember seeing Men in Black 3. I don't remember much about it. So it's movies like that that kind of get pushed out of your brain after time being, where it's like, yeah, it wasn't as good.
Carp, Dead Don't Die. Go ahead.
If you've seen any of this other gentleman's films, they're super meta. I believe he just sent it to wide release to get, like, for your Oscar considerations. It's all about, like, it within itself. Like, at one point, Bill Murray looks at Adam Driver and says, why are you playing this song? Adam Driver looks at him and he says, well, it's because it's the theme song for the movie.
Like, oh, so they okay, constant fourth wall breaks?
Well, not fourth wall break, because they don't stare at the screen. They like talk to each other about it. So it's super meta, as I said. It's got its moments. The zombie stuff was like, why it happened. There was no real explanation. It was some weird, it was about polar fracking in like the Antarctic was causing the dead to come back to life. So it was like, you know, talking about global warming and how it's going to be the death of us. It's very like up its own ass in a sense, but not in the way that's vomit inducing. You know, okay. It has some very entertaining parts, some weird ass parts, hands down for sure. Like the zombies come back to life and they're like, brandy, drink brandy. It's like, huh? So it's very, very friggin' weird. All in all, like, because I had no idea what I was going into, I didn't think it was going to be meta. I thought it was just going to be like a zombie comedy in the vein of Fido or Zombieland, but more so like trying to get deep into your own mind. I'd give it a 3.25 out of 5. It was weird. It's watchable more on the home market,
yeah,
than it was in the cinema. But
because it's going straight to Netflix after, right?
Yeah, I mean the cast is phenomenal in it too. Like, it's, I mean, you got Chloe Sevigny, Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Tilda Swinton, Danny Glover. Like, there's a lot of famous actors in it. So
wow, okay.
And I think this guy, he pretty much, I think it's something like you have to have your movies in something like 2,600 cinemas in North America for a minimum of 2 weeks,
yeah,
to be considered for an Oscar. So I'm pretty sure that's why he had a wide release. If not, then I'm sure it's going to be on Netflix soon. And if not, it's definitely going to be home market earlier than later.
So in order for you to consider something a fourth wall break, they have to look at the camera? Oh, you got to
pretty much stare right at the camera.
No, because if you look at the Kevin Smith movies, like, it's nonstop, and they don't look at the camera all the time.
I mean, yeah, there is fourth wall breaking. Like, even at the end there, there's a big scene that they're like, he gave you the full script, he only gave me so many pages to look at.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a fourth wall break is acknowledging that you're a movie, you're a book, you're something like that. Like,
yeah, so okay. So there's a fair amount. but some characters aren't aware of the situation.
Got it. But to me, like, I don't necessarily agree with you have to look at the screen and be like, eh, you know, like, to me, if you're talking about the script, that's a fourth wall break. I don't know. We'll have to figure that
like,
out.
But. Like Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's the infamous fourth wall break where it's like that it's a movie. Like, that's what the fourth wall is, acknowledging you're in the medium that you are.
Yeah.
A lot of times it is done with, like, looking at the camera, like, I just try to get back into, and I'm trying to get back into House of Cards. And that has a lot of, you know, fourth wall breaks where he looks right at the camera and explains. I don't know if that's a fourth wall break, come to think about it, because he doesn't really acknowledge what he's in. It's more of a sidebar, but he does look right into the camera and into the audience.
Interesting conversation there. Okay, heavy set. Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4, in my opinion, is the funniest Toy Story ever. Forky is one of the best parts of the movie. I forget the actor's name offhand, but it's the same guy that plays Buster Bluth on Arrested Development. Oddly enough, right around when this came out, we seen it. We were close to wrapping up Arrested Development, so like when I heard his voice, it like instantly clicked. That character is fucking hilarious, and Key and Peele in their parts of Bunny and Ducky, the single two funniest characters within the whole franchise. Just what they did, they brought Key and Peele to Toy Story. That's the only way I can describe it. And it's very obviously still G-rated, but there's a lot of controversy on whether 3 was the best way to end it or 4 is the best way to end it. I personally like how they ended 4. And if this is official, they're done. No more Toy Stories. I'm fine with that. I think they wrapped it up the best way possible. They actually tied up some few loose ends within the series. And there's not really a really big bad guy in this movie as there is the previous 3. And that's something I thought was very refreshing. There is, but there's a backstory on it that kind of lets you see like the actual good side of this character. So I recommend it, and I give it a very rare 5 out of 5.
Wow. Okay. So it was your favorite of all of them?
It's one of those things I'm going to have to see how a lot of stuff ages, like see how I feel like a year or so down the road. But Toy Story is something that I remember going to see the first one in the theater. I went and seen the second, but I know I've seen the third. I know I've seen the fourth. Buzz Lightyear, you know, was one of my favorite Disney characters for a very long time. So there's a bit of me that has grown up watching the series, and to me, it was the comedy that I loved, and I think that's what's going to resonate with me going forward.
I might actually check this out on the home market. Yeah, and I wouldn't have otherwise. Okay, cool. And we'll end on a heavy set has seen Ma.
You seen this, Carp, or no?
Unfortunately not.
Going back to Toy Story real quick to kind of wrap everything, that is what I seen with Aladdin at the drive-in, and Ma is what I seen Child's Play with at the drive-in. This was the second movie played that night. I have one big issue when it comes to seeing movies back-to-back like that, especially horror movies, because I feel like they're all in their own reality. It has their own feel and like obviously the crazy shit that could happen. Cause I've seen two back-to-back horror movies and I've had to like really take a moment to like readjust myself to like, okay, we're no longer, cause I think it was, I went from Halloween to Slender Man. So it was like, okay, we're no longer in the Halloween universe. Now we're in Slender Man. There's no Mike Myers. Like, okay, this is going to be set up very differently and go. So it's the same thing. Started with Child's Play, went into Ma, and, it was a kind of a coin flip of which of the two horror movies was better. Ma is a psychological thriller, and the stuff that happens within that town, like I don't want to ruin too much. I had a couple things somewhat ruined for me, or just I had heads up of certain things I need to look for because there's going to be twists and turns. And I gave it a 3 out of 5. If you like horror movies, I would suggest it. It's definitely not your typical one. It's not anything like Supernatural or anything like that. It's basically about a psychotic woman, what led her to that, why she's doing what she's doing, and all that kind of stuff. So I do recommend, even though I'm not a big horror movie person.
Awesome. Carp, is this on your list to see?
Yeah, it was on my list to see. It's just so much stuff to do during the summer now, and now that I have better disposable income, I do more other stuff than sitting in a cinema for an hour and a half. So
Let's get our plugs, final thoughts. Heavy set, go ahead.
Oh, what happened to our looking forward to a month or so and figure out what we wanted to see?
Plug it up.
God, it's been like so long since we've done a show.
So once Old School's finally put this out, we're going to just kind of have Phil take over, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was like contemplating on recording last week, but when the previous episode hadn't even been out yet.
Yeah,
I knew I could put it out quick. Yeah. I could put this episode quicker out than you could the last one, that whatever episode this is would come out before the last one. I'm like, yeah, let's not get into that.
Well, but he also won't post your episode on his website until like 3 months after.
No, yeah, it was just being lazy. All right, movies we're looking forward to. Yay or nay? Heavy set.
Okay, so wait, when's this episode going to come out?
July 2020.
October.
July 2020. I figure okay. out.
So what's the next big Marvel movie?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be Infinity War 2. No.
More infinite?
Yeah, yeah.
More. Oh, update. I did see Endgame one more time. Yeah. So it's at 4 total.
Wow.
Apparently they said they're 7 million shy of beating Avatar.
So they're going to do a re-release then for sure.
They're on their current re-release.
The problem with Avatar was it was actually out in the theater, which people don't really realize this, for like 6 months.
Like, and it was a gimmick. It was a gimmick. Nobody cared about the movie. It was the effects in the movie that sold it. Whereas Avengers, it's the movie.
Yeah. I think what actually holds that, well, I would say what holds Endgame back is the fact how long it is, but I think Avatar was a pretty long movie too.
No, I think Endgame will... They'll get their 15-3 release or whatever, you know, it'll beat it.
They gotta figure out another release because there was the initial release, and then there was, like, when I went to go see it this last time, they had the Spider-Man trailer at the end, and then there was a third technical, you want to call it, re-release, that the end credit, there's like some deleted scenes.
What about like a Christmas Infinity War Endgame combo?
Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
I think one thing that's going to actually... what's changed between now and then. There's already sale dates for Endgame. Like, I know at the end of this month, I'm going to have Endgame available digitally.
Oh, okay.
And I've already have it pre-ordered, whatever you want to call it. Prepaid, whatever. Pre-ordered.
Oh, the Blu-ray, and then you get the digital download?
No, just I paid for the digital offhand. I'll get a physical copy down the road somewhere.
Where do you get it from? Apple? Google?
Vudu.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of Vudu. All right. Movies that we're looking forward to this month, next month. Lion King 2019 version. Heavy set. Your thoughts?
Kind of already talked about it earlier. So what do you think it is for me?
Yeah, you're going.
Oh, yeah. This is a yay.
I'm thinking Carp's a home market for this.
I don't even know if I honestly, I mean, yeah, eventually when it's on home market, I might watch it. I've never seen any of the only live action. First of all, this isn't live action. This is CGI. That's it. That's where that argument ends. Anybody who tells me this is live action can suck my left testicle.
And unlike Lance Armstrong, he still has it.
Because guess what? Well, now if it's only a left testicle, is it still just a left testicle?
Well, that's a good question. If a testicle falls in the woods.
But if they use a live action animal and just CGI like the mouth. And although all that action, what is it?
I was wondering where you were going with that.
That's sort of some sort of mutant hybrid, and I will not accept that in my cinemas.
Yeah. No, Carpal set the cinema on fire.
Yeah, that's why I've never seen The Zookeeper, because the live lions talking to Kevin James is just completely unbelievable, and I will never see that.
And it's a nay for me. All right, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Carp.
Fuck yes. No question about it. It's Tarantino's ninth and possibly his last.
DiCaprio and Brad Pitt starring. Heavy set.
What's your prediction?
A nay.
This is a yay, but this isn't like I'm going to run out and go see it. But I do want to see it. So do with that what you will.
And it's a yay for me. The Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw with Idris Elba.
Samoan dude.
What? I know.
Some British dude, some yeah. Samoan dude.
No, but I was just...
Samoan dude is named Roman Reigns.
The next James Bond. Yeah. The next, so Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw with Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, and the next James Bond, Idris Elba.
That's been confirmed otherwise today.
Oh, really?
A black British female will be the next 007.
Oh, wow. Okay. Huh. Just go all in. There you go. Cool. Make her trans. Heavy, yeah or nay?
What's your prediction?
You're going.
I have never seen any Fast and the Furious movie to this point, but I'm going to go see this one.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited for the Roman Reigns cameo and the fact that he was able to put in there, ooh, ah. I'm going to like crazy pop for that just because it's in a movie. It's funny.
Yeah, well, because you don't really need to see the other ones, right? This is more like a buddy cop thing. Has nothing to do. It's just the name, really, yeah. That's attached.
Yeah, I'm like not really big fans of, like I said, of the series, but yeah. Statham, Rock, throw in the Roman Reigns cameo. I was sold on just like the setup of the trailer beforehand. Add him, and I'm like, all right, I'm definitely in on this.
Yeah, and I love Idris Elba as a bad guy. So it's great, great cast. It's a yay for me. Carp's in it for sure. Carp's a yay.
Yeah, for a while, I'm like, when the first trailers came out, I'm like, I don't know. And then the newer trailer came out, I'm like, this looks like I'm basically just going to be able to sit down, turn my brain off, watch a crazy action movie.
The weekend of the 9th, we've got 5 wide releases. I haven't heard of any of them.
Yeah, we're getting into August, and that's when like the summer movies start to dry up.
Yeah, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, The Kitchen, Dora and the Lost City.
Okay, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is Del Toro. It's based on books that you probably read when you were a kid. I'm definitely going to see Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Wow. Okay. Heavy?
What do you think?
Yay. Because of the girlfriend.
Correct.
Yeah.
She's fucking up my game because she makes me go see movies that I might not have wanted to see or wanted to go see as quick.
47 Meters Down, Uncaged. Horror thriller.
I don't think that's going to end up getting a wide release.
Okay. And Good
First
Boys.
First 47 Meters Down was kind of fucked up.
Good Boys, R-rated.
Yeah, comedy. Good Boys looks hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah,
it looks like grade 3 Superbad.
Okay. Which is by the same people as Superbad. So I want to see it, but it might be actually in a good part of the summer to where it's like you're not competing against Spider-Man, Toy Story, but people want to go out for a movie in the middle of the heat, especially August is a horrible heat month. That might be the way to go.
And you sold me just by saying Superbad. Done. Yeah. Angry Birds 2. Why? Nay for
me. Because money.
Yeah.
Because money.
Heavy, I'm guessing no.
It is a no. I don't even think I've seen the first one.
Yeah. Okay, and then we've got 23rd.
Well, then we should just stop because we should be doing another recording by then.
True, yeah. Okay.
Good.
And
so we're just going to go right through till January 1st.
There you go. And on that note, let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts, Heavy Set.
Of course, you can find me at HeavySet330, and I still have Wrestling Cheers going strong. We're going to be sponsoring probably by the time this comes out, and that's at the end of next month, is we're sponsoring a show called Old Wrestling, and really cool concept. They've been around for like 5-6 years, and it's basically a wrestling show based in the early 1920s, 1930s. So everybody kind of has that kind of gimmick. There's a live like jazz band playing, like everybody in and out. Like it's a fun fucking show. They run a couple times a year. You can catch them on independentwrestling.tv. That's like my shit pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Carp, what do you got?
You can always follow me personally at Killer Carpe Diem and allbeerinside.com, where you can find all your beer tasting related news and listening. Yeah, whatever. Go on allbeerinside.com, click on the Amazon link, because old school is being cheap now and he's not buying stuff.
I'm not moving offices.
So there's that. At allbeerinside across the boards. And go Owls go. I went Thursday, July 4th to celebrate America's independence. I went to watch a Canadian Football League game. And I sweat my balls off the entire game since it was like 41 degrees up there.
And they've won ever since. They won the last two because you went.
So I may have to go this upcoming Saturday. Oh, no, Saturday we're busy. Yeah, I'll probably go see another game. Because right now you can get 3 tickets for $25 each.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
And well, where were you sitting? You weren't in the end zone, right?
Yeah, I was in the ends. Well, I was between the 10, the zero and the end zone, because it's a 20-yard end zone.
Yeah.
But those were good tickets. I was like five rows off the floor.
Oh, okay.
So, but those were $50 tickets.
So. Yeah.
And I just want to say, go Calgary Stampeders. They suffered a tough loss yesterday.
They're also missing Bo Levi.
Ooh, I did not catch that news. That sucks.
Yeah, but he's out 6 weeks.
Yep. But I feel like they lost more because of really bad special teams when they had like two kicks return for a touchdown, like pretty close to each other.
That's rare in the CFL.
Yeah, so that really wasn't good. And also, obviously, by the time you hear this, because old school is slow, I mean, that's just a fact. Later this week, there is a Tim Hortons opening up in Akron, Ohio. Yeah. I am so excited. So
by next year, we'll be heavier set.
God, I hope not. But I'm going to go give me some Timbits, maybe an ice cap. But it's going to be so cool to like finally have that so close. I'm happy that they've been planning for a couple of years to fully infiltrate this area more. And now they have this one opening. They had like one already open a little further away, but still within the area. Another one opening towards that way too. But like, I think I'm going to be 16, 17 minutes away, which isn't that bad because it's mostly city traffic.
Little taste of Canada, 16 minutes away. For Heavy Set and for Carp, this is Old School saying thank you very much for listening.
Before Transformers, before G.I. Joe, and before the inevitable Funko Pop move, and they're making it. Relive the first terrible movie based on action figures that's also the kinkiest terrible movie based on action figures.
Kneel before your master!
The safe word is cringer. Masters of the Universe. Eternia is in peril, and only He-Man can save it in this adventure that brings together all your favorite heroes from the Masters of the Universe cartoon. Except for Battlecat, She-Ra, Stratos, Ram-Man, Zodak, or Manny Faces. Oh, come on, not even Orko? How hard would it have been to paint Gwildor blue and hang him from the ceiling? But at least your favorite villains are here, like this butter carving of Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, Beast-Man, ugh, pass, Pirate Flash? Football Lizard? Who are these people? They couldn't get Trapjaw in there? He's easily as dumb as Football Lizard. I mean, come on. But at least they have all your favorite He-Man locations, like the majestic throne room of Castle Grayskull. And, wait, that's it? Alright, does this movie have anything to do with He-Man? Or is this whole thing going to be about Courtney Cox's dead parents?
It's my fault they died.
It was a plane crash. Those things just happen.
Unless that plane crashed into Snake Mountain, I don't care. You love Dolph Lundgren as Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. Now, witness this invincible Superman's greatest weakness, having to talk.
Now, why are you so important to Skeletor?
Let her go.
Don't be afraid, I won't hurt you.
I don't want innocent people to die.
Luckily, he's a He-Man of action, not a He-Man of words, wielding his mythical power sword.
I have
power! To balance his gun-shooting arm. But who cares? He-Man's in less than half of this He-Man movie, leaving plenty of time for the real stars, like Gwildor.
Native clothing.
A dwarven scientist who looks like they shot Billy Barty's face with a shotgun full of prosthetics. Skeletor, a tour de force performance from Frank Langella, whose acting could rip the fabric of space and time, but not the fabric covering his nostrils. And of course, Julie and Kevin, a small-town romance between this orphaned waitress and an aspiring keyboard player that for some reason takes up 50% of my He-Man movie. Stop trying to relate to teens movie. He-Man is for small children and 40-year-olds only. No in-between. Journey back to a simpler time when grown men could walk around in S&M gear without arousing suspicion. Electronic devices that fell from the sky were probably just Japanese.
This is one of those new Japanese synthesizers.
Movies based on children's toys had casual swearing.
Holy sh**.
This line didn't have an internet to piss off.
Woman at arms.
Alternative energy was what magical hairy miniature scientists did.
It was an inefficient combustible system, but I fixed it. No hydrocarbons needed.
And vegetarianism was so rare, it literally came from another dimension.
You mean this used to be an animal?
Mm-hmm.
What a barbaric world.
Oh, come on, don't look so shocked, Tila. You think He-Man got a body carved out of greased marble by eating Impossible Burgers? So if you're hungry for one of the biggest wasted opportunities in film, featuring a climax shot in total darkness because the movie ran out of money, creature design so cheap, Gwildor's mouth barely moves.
I am Gwildor of Thenor, locksmith and inventor.
And the ultimate mark of doom, promising a sequel that's never gonna happen.
I'll be back.
Then relive the disaster that proved you can hire the writer of The Dark Crystal, the guy who made the music for Rocky, the editor of Lawrence of Arabia, and the VFX artist who did Star Wars. But if your producers are the same guys who are making Superman 4 at the same time, your movie will still definitely suck. Like real bad. Starring,
by the power of Numskull,
Bonejo is ready. So no one told you He-Man's gonna come your way. He Kevin, hashtag not my Orko, the Crystal Skull, Evil Lynn, Evelyn. Oh, I get it. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Skeletor?
A Skeletor's forces were hunting me down.
Any four Skeletors is a friend of ours.
Skeletor knew what he was doing.
Eternia Newton-John. Hobo Cop. The authority figure from every 80s movie.
What is this, a circus act? Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
And characters saying the name Gwildor.
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 Courtney Cox's Dead Parents. Featuring Gwildor. That is not how cleaning up works.